Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. This is Love University. Dr. Alex Avila, clinical psychologist, author, and speaker. And today we're back again with Love University. And this is a very exciting time. It's the beginning of the year. And here at Love University, what we're doing is we're teaching you how to love yourself, others, and a higher nature. And if you think about it, in school, we don't learn these things, right? In school, we learn arithmetic and science and history and things that we may or may not use. But we don't really learn love. We don't really learn relationships, emotional intelligence, self-esteem, spirituality. And these are the kind of things we're going to teach you here. So this is a course in you know, helping you become the best you can be and to reach your highest level and also help other people the same. And given that, I'm really excited about today's topic. This is something that is really going to challenge a lot of you here and going to raise your mindset. Because a lot of what we are in life is our mind. You know, it's amazing to me that people spend 8 hours a day on a job, maybe hours working on their car, but they don't spend even 15 minutes on their mind. You know, reading a book, meditating, you know, listen to a podcast that can help inspire them. But it's very important, you know, to spend time, exercise your mental muscles. Now, today's topic is how to think like a champion. Think of that, a champion, a person of excellence. Now, we can talk about people that are successful in, say, sports, you know, world-class athletes, in business, in science, and art. But I also like to think of people who are excellent as human beings, who are kind, compassionate, giving, and loving. To be a great parent, a great friend, a great lover. These are also wonderful things that are part of excellence. Because if you succeed in the external world, let's say through material excellence, whether it's money or possessions or even accolades, that has its advantages. But if you're empty inside, if you're unhappy, if you don't have that inner passion, then that is a limitation. So we're talking about an overall excellence of person, a champion of inner and outer, a champion of the heart. So let's look at that. So what does science tell us about the mind of a champion? People that are excel in many fields in life and are part of the best there is. Number one is that their brain is very unique. There's something called brain coherence. Measuring the brain activity through what's called the EEG, we find that people of high excellence have a lot of what are called alpha waves, which are the state of mind when you're very restful and alert. So basically you're relaxed, but also aware. You know, great performers in sports and Olympics and other things like that are able to maintain their calmness, but also they're very alert and ready to do what they need to do. Also having a good working memory. A working memory is a temporary storage of information in your brain where you can learn things and you can apply them. And finally, champions have what's known as a high moral development. They are good citizens. They care about people. They are able to be integral with who they are and do the right thing. So these are the people that have good self-image. They sleep well. They have a good reputation because they want to help other people as well. So those are some of the elements. Now, let's say you want to be a high performer. Raise your hands if you want to be a high performer in life. Okay, Reggie, you're an engineer. You're raising your hand. I guess you want to be the best engineer in the world, I would imagine. So what we want to do is think of those possibilities. Now, again, being a high performer is not just in career. I mean, it could be in your art or science or business or even being a good mechanic or working with your hands, a craftsperson, but also being a great friend, a great parent, a great spouse. One of the most important things is a state called flow, or also known as peak state. Have you ever been in that state of mind where everything works wonderfully? Maybe in sports, you know, everything you do goes in the basket or in the goal. Or you have what's called the runner's high. You have that feeling where you're running and you lose track of time and space. You know, you kind of are one with your activity. That's an incredible feeling. So researchers have looked at this idea called flow, and high achievers have a lot of flow. They have this mindset where they, you know, are happy, calm, and they lose track of time. They lose track of their self-consciousness. One of the things that hold us back is that we're often thinking about ourselves. I call it the self-observer, you know, that critic that says you're too fat, you're too skinny, you're too, you know, unattractive, you're too old, you're too young, you're not smart enough. And that self-critic is always attacking us. But when we are in the flow state, we become the observer. We switch the whole thing, so we are in the now. We're kind of looking at the world. We're enjoying what we're seeing. The other thing that's important in the flow experience is to have a balance between anxiety and boredom, also known as psychological safety. If you have too much ability and not enough of a challenge, you're going to feel bored because, you know, you are overcompensating. On the other hand, if you have too much challenge and not enough ability, you're going to feel anxiety because you're fearful that if you can do this. So you want to have an activity that challenges you, but it's not too challenging that it gives you anxious. For example, some people love bungee jumping, right? And they have high stimulation needs, right? They need to have that excitement. Other people, they can play a game of chess, or they can do poetry, art, listen to music, meditate, have a prayerful connection with a higher power. So everyone's unique in that sense. But you want to have a situation where your skills match your challenge. So you have an equal blend. Now, they've asked world-class athletes, how does this feel when you're in this flow state, this peak state of performance? And one champion skier who won 11 gold medals said, "I am relaxed and my senses are open. I take in 10 to 20 times more information." You may have heard of what's called the intuitive mind, right? Intuition, where some people get these ideas from somewhere, you know, that they don't even know where it comes from. A gut hunch. Jung called it the collective unconscious. All these ideas we have passed through the generations. So according to many psychologists, this intuition is released when you're in the flow state. You know, you get these great ideas, these inspirations. I want to change my life and, you know, start a new career or maybe move somewhere, travel. I want to start something new. These ideas come to you when you're in the peak state. Another champion in the sports world said about the flow state, "I become an observer of a beautiful feeling." Now notice what I said. I become an observer. Now the idea again is you're no longer looking at yourself, observing yourself. You're observing outwardly. So you lose self-consciousness. One of the things that creates a lot of pain in people is the idea that you have to critique yourself. You know, people who are very shy, and I wrote a book called The Gift of Shyness, talks about shy people are very sensitive and they're good listeners and they're good, have good traits. But the one thing they have that's difficult for them is that they're self-conscious. They're always observing themselves. So what we do is we reverse that and we become the observer. We actually look out and we, you know, enjoy what we're seeing. So now, let's say that we know flow is important. How do we improve our flow? What do we need to do? We need to, first of all, find an activity that you love and do it with awareness. For some people, it's working on a car or spending time with animals or children in nature. Exercise, you know, swimming, running, meditation, prayer, working with your hands, creating something, doing art or poetry. Everyone has something unique to them that they really love that you immerse yourself into it. Do it with full awareness. Even walking can be a great state of flow. You know, walking in a beautiful place, you know, and you have the sunshine on you and the wind, depending on where you are. Some people are in snow, but, you know, if you like snow, that's another thing. But wherever you are, you just fully immerse in that situation. And you practice it regularly, you know, several times a week. You do this activity that brings you to the flow state, whether it's meditation or running or listening to music, whatever it is, do it on a frequent basis. Now, if the activity becomes too easy, sometimes we get bored. Like, let's say in a work setting, right? You're very good at a task, but you do it, it's so easy to you. You need to challenge yourself. Maybe try to do it faster. Or in a company situation, maybe start a new division or a new product. Do something different that is going to challenge you and make it more interesting for you. Now, on the other hand, if the activity brings you anxiety, if it's too difficult, then you need to slow yourself down. You need to relax. There is a very successful business consultant who was hired to change it to help a company that was going bankrupt. They were losing millions of dollars. The first thing the consultant did, he bought a one-way ticket to Hawaii and spent a whole week lying on the beach. Now you can imagine the company was going crazy. They're trying to get a hold of him. They couldn't get a hold of him. And finally, one of the executives from the company got a hold of him on the phone. He says, "What are you doing? We're paying you a lot of money to help our company and we're going down. What are you doing?" And the consultant calmly answered, "The bigger the problem, the more I need to relax my mind. I will be there on Monday and I will solve your problems." He came back within a week. He had turned the company around. He had saved them millions of dollars. And he knew that a relaxed mind is a powerful mind. The bigger the challenge, the more your mind needs to be relaxed. So take a break, you know, go to the beach, meditate, you know, relax. When you face an anxiety challenge, that's going to give you more power and strength. Also, find someone that is smarter than you in this particular area, because they can alleviate some of the burden. You know, create what we call a mastermind, where people are together for a common mind, common purpose. Everyone has different talents. So if you're struggling in one area, then find someone that can help you in a different area. Another thing that can help you in this flow idea is pushing through the boredom. Now, there are things we don't like to do. For example, pay your taxes, you know, do your accounting. Everyone finds that difficult, but it's crucial for a business to understand numbers and accounting. So you need to push through that boredom and get that done, because a little thing can make a big difference. One of our first Olympic gold medalists in the gymnastics said he had a secret to winning the gold medal in the Olympics. He said, "I had a competition where I didn't do as well, but the next time I stayed 15 minutes after practice and I practiced this move over and over again, this routine. The next time I won the gold medal by 1/10 of a point." Just that little extra effort, that little, you know, pushing beyond that little boundary that he had was enough to help him become a champion. And many times we have that, what we call the tipping point, that little point at which you can really go beyond your barriers and limitations if you push yourself a little bit more. Think about yourself. What is it right now that is limiting you? Maybe you want to lose those 30, 40 pounds. Have you been to the gym so far this year? How many times? One time, two times? Just go there for 20 minutes. You know, go there for a period of time to get your mind warmed up, to get your body ready. You want to start a new career, a new business, go back to school. You know, pick up a catalog, go to the library, you know, go online, look at what you're studying. Spend 20, 30 minutes, just a little effort can start to build momentum, because much of success is based on momentum. When you start to build that, you start to get more into the flow. It becomes easier. If you're a shy person, you want to find a soulmate, you know, make yourself go out somewhere, right? To a coffee place, a social activity, maybe just sit for half an hour. You know, maybe you don't want to go out. You're what we call introvert energy. You stay home a lot and you like being alone. But to meet that right person, you need to get out. So tell yourself, I'm going to go for 30 minutes to this event and I may leave, right, if I don't like it, but at least I'm going to be there and I'm going to smile at three people. And just by doing some little action, it starts to build that confidence, you know, that momentum, that motivation for you to keep going. Another element besides flow of the champion is that champions, and again, we're talking about inner champions, where people that can master their thoughts and feelings, are aware of their feelings. They don't try to push them down. Now, in psychology, we call pushing feelings down repression. In other words, something uncomfortable, like you're feeling sad and you say, oh, I don't want to feel sad. I don't want to feel anxious. I don't want to feel regretful. But that doesn't work because you divide your mind into two parts. The rational mind, which is the thinking one that says, you know, don't think like that. And the feeling side that wants you to feel that whatever sadness or pain it is. Who do you think is going to win? Most of the time is going to be the feeling mind, right? The primitive part of you that your emotions take over. So to counteract that, we need to become aware of our feelings, become conscious. And a good way to do that is to actually define what you're feeling. For example, Reggio, my engineer, what's your emotion right now? What are you feeling?
I'm just kind of like, just wowed at just the situation.
Okay, well, that's a nice compliment. You get a raise, I guess, two cups of coffee, right? Now, you said wowed. Now, see, many times I have a therapy practice, and I deal with people who are victims of crime and trauma. And by the way, people can call me later on. I'll give you the number for that. And what they tell me usually when I ask them, how do you feel? They said, well, I feel bien in English, which means Spanish, which means good, or mal, which means bad. But I say, that is not a feeling. That's a general state. Or I ask them, how do you feel? I feel tired. Again, that's a physiological state. A physical state is not emotional. So emotions like happy, sad, content, joyful, those are emotions. And people that have the ability to differentiate emotions often are less depressed and recover quicker in therapy. And in psychology, we call this emotional granularity, which means to be specific your emotions. So when you think about how you're feeling, you can even keep a little journal. You know, today I'm feeling sad, or I'm feeling distressed, I'm feeling content, I'm feeling joyful. And that's going to really help you, you know, become more aware of your feelings and also to be able to manage your emotions so that you can feel better and enjoy life more. Another key element of the champion mind is to celebrate small wins. And I think, Reggie, we were talking about this last week, right? If you want to lose 40 pounds, but you have to wait until you lose 40 pounds, it's going to be a long haul. But what if you lose 5 pounds and then celebrate. You know, go out with your buddies and have a little cake pop or something, but not more than one cake pop. But at least you celebrate and you start to develop that motivation, right? The desire to keep going because I met a milestone. I had a little win. And little wins can be very powerful because any little win can build on another one. So you lose 5 pounds, you celebrate 10 pounds, it pretty much is 20 pounds, and now you hit your 40-pound goal. Or whether it's running a mile or 2 miles, whatever it was you want to do. Or writing a book. I say, you know, write 10 pages a day, you know, and celebrate. You might have a little cappuccino. You might listen to a favorite music, have a show that you like to watch, and keep doing that every day. You know, 10 pages. In 30 days, you have a 300-page book, right? So you've written a book or an art or music, whatever it is that you want to create or do, or bake a cake. You know, you learn how to bake a cake little by little. But celebrate those little victories. They're very valuable. And oftentimes, research shows that we enjoy our wins more if we have someone to celebrate with. It's called to relish. You know the term relish is to enjoy, right? So, you know, calling up your best friend, spending time with some of your family members when you have that little victory can be very rewarding, very reinforcing. Now, here's one of my favorites in terms of the mind of a champion. Act the way you want to feel, not the way you feel now. So right now, let's say we got a little bad news. You know, we lost some money in the market. You know, the person we liked romantically doesn't like us as much. Someone said something that, you know, made us feel bad. So we're feeling a little sad, maybe a little bit disappointed. But the key is to change your feelings into what you want to feel like. So I'm actually a little happier than I thought, you know. I'm going to go out and do something different. I'm going to meet someone new. I'm going to, you know, find a new job. And I feel kind of excited. Now, it may not be the case. Maybe you still feel depressed. But this is the idea in common terminology. It says, fake it till you make it. You may have heard of this, right? And what it means is that you can have a feeling that can actually change the way you feel. So it's a paradox. And one thing we do is we look at facial expressions, for example. And you know that when you smile, you release certain brain chemicals that make you feel better. And when you frown, you have other chemicals that make you feel sad. So Reggie, I want you to try this right now, and everyone listening in the audience, I want you to put your head up like this, straight, and smile and say, I am depressed.
I am depressed.
I am depressed.
I am depressed.
Okay. There's no way you can feel depressed, right, Reggie? When you're smiling and your head is up. Now let's try this one, everyone at home. Put your head down like this and say, I am happy. I am happy. All right. So we're going to create a bunch of robots walking around, right, saying, I am happy with their head down. It doesn't work, right? There's no way that you can maintain happiness with your head down. So in a sense, this is a great exercise to practice. You can change your happiness by your facial expressions. So every day in the mirror, you know, smile and laugh. And you might even want to jump up and down, you know, and do a little bit of a funny hopscotch or something. Something to change your mood. So by changing your expressions, you can actually raise your emotional mood and be happier. So act the way you want to feel. Now, the last one here, and this is a very important one, is to forgive your past. Many times we get stuck in regrets, right? I should have stayed in that relationship. I should have left it. I should have stayed in that job. I should have left the job. Maybe I should have moved to a different place, or I made a mistake. I hurt somebody. Or I hurt myself, maybe even with addiction or bad habits. But the key is the champions move beyond the past. They're able to forgive themselves. You know, okay, at that moment, let's say I was psychologically in third grade. I acted like a third grader. You know, maybe I said the wrong things. I did something that didn't work out. But I could not have acted any higher than my grade level. Now, when I'm in college psychologically, then I can act like a college student or a graduate student. So in a sense, there's no way to really go back and say you should have done better because you only acted at the level you were at psychologically and emotionally. When you do that, you start to forgive yourself and you give yourself more power to go forward. I say that if you take one step back, but two steps forward, you're still making progress, right? You're still going toward your goal. You might have a relapse. Maybe it's a substance abuse issue, or maybe you picked the wrong relationship, but you realize when you go back that it isn't an error, but I'm going to go forward. So you keep making more progress. That way you start to go further and further and you make fewer mistakes and you condemn yourself less. You have more energy and more power to go forward. So remember that. Every time you make a little mistake, allow yourself to go back and say, well, maybe I did make a mistake, but I'm going to go forward. I'm going to keep improving and being a higher level person. And you are still making the journey upward. It doesn't matter where you've been. It matters where you're going. If you're down in a well, what does it matter? You can look up and still see the stars. They're up there. So the stars of your imagination, of your purpose and your future. So these are some of the keys. Now, if you are able to master these keys, develop a sense of flow, of peak experience, be aware of your feelings, celebrate the small wins, act the way you want to feel, and forgive your past, you can start to become a champion. You can develop the mind of a champion. It doesn't mean you have to be great in sports or even in business, but you can be a champion in your own personal life. You know, being a good person, being a charitable human being, being loving to your family, to your friends, being a supportive coworker, even helping homeless people or other people that need help. So being a champion is many different elements, but it is basically being the best you can be, what I call to be invincible, to go beyond barriers, to go beyond weaknesses, to go beyond faults, where you can live a life of purpose, a life of love. Because if you think about it, we're only here for a slice of eternity. You know, before we were born, there's an eternity, and after we're gone from the earth, there'll be an eternity. So that we have a little piece, a little slice of life that can be very beautiful. And our purpose is to leave a legacy, to leave something beautiful on earth, whether it's through our work, through our love, through our relationships, through our children. And that is really love, because love is the essence of all these things. Again, Love University is here to help you. Now, some of you may think this is for you, some of you may not. But if you resonate with these ideas, if you really feel what I'm talking about, I would love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your stories, your ideas. We want to have some guests on the show that have real world issues. It could be personal, it could be relationship issues, it could be spiritual issues. And call us at 310-226-8090. Email us at lovetype4u@aol.com. That's LOVETYPE, the number 4, the letter U, AOL.com. And we do have a new website up. We mentioned it last time, loveuniversity.love. And there we have our blog, we have the podcast, we have things that you will be interested in. And we invite you to come on board our community. Also, I mentioned that we do therapy as well. We have clinics here in the Los Angeles, Orange County area in California. And I know we're reaching a lot of people worldwide. Some of our biggest audiences are in other countries as well. So wherever you are, we invite you to be part of our Love University community. Be a student of the inner and the outer. This is Dr. Avila. And again, I wish you great success this week in developing the mind of a champion so you too can conquer any ill that you have and achieve your greatest dreams. Until next time, this is Dr. Avila, Love University. Class is dismissed.